podcast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast doesn't represent the stand-up of Tim Babb, but you know what does? Seeing Tim Babb live!
Live!
As opposed to what? Shut up! The next time you can see Tim Babb live is Saturday, August 14th, 2010 in Carlsbad, California. He'll be at the West Coast Funny Show with headliner Paul Ortega. It's at the Carlsbad Village Theater at 8 p.m. Find out more future shows, go to tancast.com/Tim and click on Tim's Comedy Calendar. Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Tancast.
In 2001, three friends moved into a house together. Because their names were Tim, Andy, and Noah, they called the place the Tan House.
By 2007, these friends had gone their separate ways.
Andy to Atlanta, Noah to San Francisco,
and Tim to Los Angeles.
Now they get together on the internet every week and discuss movies,
TV, tech,
politics,
food,
Disney,
comics, Star Trek,
Apple, or sometimes just stories of the good old days.
These conversations are raw, explicit, and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
When you hear this sound,
he's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up.
That means there's a link to what the boys are talking about in the show notes.
If none of this has scared you off, then you are prepared to listen to the Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast, episode 111.
And everybody's going to heaven.
I knew that would have to be the rhyme. Didn't anticipate Andy being the one saying it.
Why would I say it?
Andy is just so anti-afterlife.
Fuck
didn't
him.
Think he was going to endorse it.
I'm not anti-afterlife. I am pro-life. Wait.
Same diff.
See, I am a conservative. I'm pro-life.
I'm Tim. I'm the T in Tancast. And I can take or leave life.
I'm Andy. I'm the A in Tancast. And I like life. I don't want to die.
You are. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware.
But I love you anyways.
Who are you, third guy?
Oh, I'm Satan. All hail me.
All hail you.
Hail, hail, hail.
I'm Noah.
He's the Satan in Tancast.
Here we are once again.
Here we are, dear old friend.
All right, let's do some tan laughs.
Why not?
Everyone loves a good joke, so we tell jokes on the show each week. We love to tell jokes. You send it to us, fucktards@tancast.com. Send something there you think will amuse us. Telling jokes gets you laid at a party. If you don't believe me, well, that is just fine. Stick around for these jokes anyway, because it's tan laugh time.
Here we go! What was I going to say? Oh, people have been sending in more tan laughs. I appreciate it. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Like this one, sent in from Joe. A classic sender of tan laughs. I don't know what that... All right. Full
Tim
disclosure. Full disclosure, I was up for 24 hours on 3 hours of sleep and then took an hour nap, and now I'm recording this.
So, ooh.
If all you right. thought I was kind of hard to, you know, if I was having trouble communicating correctly in the Disney World episode where I was kind of tired, I am super tired in this episode.
All right, we'll take it easy on you. And don't worry, in about 45 minutes, Noah's just going to completely lose interest, and then we can hang up.
Well, then it'll just be you talking at that point, because like, I'll have passed out.
All right, I gotta think of what pissed me off this weekend, and I can probably fill in those last 15 minutes.
You'll look in the chat window on Skype, and it'll just be like, L. Oh, Tim passed out on the letter L on his keyboard. That's weird that we can see it typing without him pressing enter, which is completely non-how it works.
Apparently he fell asleep next to the L and is twitching and hitting the return key with his cheekbones.
And now back to the tan laughs.
Right.
Like I said, this is from Joe, who used to send him in back in the day. She's a, you know, our old school listener from the UK. That rhymed. They should auto-tune that. Make it into a rap.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up.
Auto-tune that. Auto-tune that.
Auto-tune that. Homeboy. Homeboy's invisible. All right. Anyway, so Joe, here's your tan laugh.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It's going to be that kind of show. she says she's been waiting for something tan worthy. Then she goes, but this will have to do.
Joe, have you not been listening to recent episodes?
Or any episodes? Nothing's tan. Nothing's not tan worthy.
I know we have exotic accents to you, but come on, listen to the content.
What do you get when you insert human DNA into a goat?
Arrested?
Close. Banned from the petting zoo.
I actually didn't think the joke was going that direction.
I can say from personal experience, that is true. I'm just kidding.
What Tim's saying is he fucked a goat.
That's funny, Andrew.
Who doesn't fuck a goat? Goat.
That's funny for the goat.
It was awesome for the goat.
It's funny. It's one of those fake goats.
Important news. If you ever go to a petting zoo, be sure to wear shoes with closed toes.
It's a good tip, kids. It's a good tip.
Do not wear sandals to the petting zoo. Goats will step on your feet.
And poop on them.
They will just,
what about Crocs?
They will just aim for your feet. I would not consider Crocs to be closed-toed shoes. Plus, they're so damn squishy, you may as well not be having anything over them.
There you go. Your weekly Croc tip from Andy.
From the Croc expert. Don't stop making
Crocs, baby. But I just got a genius idea for steel-toed Crocs for construction workers.
Jesus.
I'm going to come out with a new line of safety Crocs. I'm going to pitch it to Crocs.
I saw someone wearing Crocs I'd never seen before. They were like...
You sound amazed.
They weren't like, normally Crocs are slip-ons, right?
Yeah.
They were like a full, like, shoe, almost. But, yeah, they didn't look like Crocs I'd seen before, but I saw a little Croc symbol on them. I was like, oh, someone's getting new Crocs. They're making new Crocs. Andy, why are you on this?
I own one pair of Crocs. Somebody tweeted something about, when does the pain stop? And something about, the response was something like, when Andy shoves two pairs of Crocs up your ass or something like that. I own one pair. A pair of Crocs. I cannot shove four Crocs up anyone's ass without borrowing another pair from someone else.
Don't lie.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you caught me.
Jesus Christ. Apparently, they have a lot of different Crocs now. They are expanding.
Haven't you seen the commercials? Like, they don't even look like Crocs in the commercials.
No, I hadn't.
I saw Crocs that look like Doc Martens.
These are a lot less gay, Andy. Why don't you get a pair of these?
Why don't you link them, and then I can.
I think this is the pair I saw the guy wearing. He's climbing in your windows,
he's snatching your people up. Oh, Google, as I was Googling for the Crocs website, handily told me where the closest Crocs store was. Thank you, Google.
Because it knows you want to know.
It knows you're the one person on Tancast that wears Crocs.
In fact, goodbye, guys.
I think they realized that Crocs were kind of gay, and like, we need to get them with some less gay models. Although, they're still coming out
gay. I'm telling
you,
Crocs, you should sponsor Tancast. We talk about Crocs more than anybody in the world, I bet.
Wow, they have a line of shoe called Croc Band Nation, and they do a croc in the color of your flag, of that nation's flag.
Okay, that's kind of
badass.
That's
very patriotic.
Yeah, because you could totally do that and then go and protest the gays. Or the Mexicans, you know.
Yeah, they got Mexico,
unless you're Mexican.
Spain, England, Brazil,
the Mexicans.
France, South Africa, Australia, Korea. Tancast, keep you up on the Croc news.
Because we know you want it. They have Croc Mary Janes.
As well they should.
Mary Jane. You know, Tom Petty had the last dance with her.
I love you, Mary
And she looks suspiciously like Vicky Vale.
Yes, she did.
That was a weird video.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if the song was actually about marijuana use or...
Wait.
Not.
Maybe that's not the video I'm thinking of. Was he in two videos with Kim Basinger, or was it just the one?
I believe just that one.
The one where he's pulling out of the water and she's dead?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he like does like the mortician thing and beautifies her up and then dances with her in a,
in a
candlelit room. Yes.
That was an odd video.
That is Last Dance with Mary Jane. Yes, Noah, thank you for catching up with Tim and I.
Well, I couldn't remember if it was that video. I didn't remember the lyrics. I just remember that video. I'm like, why is he pulling out of the water? She's dead. This is blowing my mind.
Boom. I just set that down on your head.
What are you setting down on heads?
I'm setting balls? Things down on Noah's head. My balls, for instance.
Don't do that.
Okay. I won't anymore.
Thank you.
So this joke comes from Jonathan. Have you guys heard about the new super sensitive condoms?
No.
They hang around after the man leaves and talk to the woman.
Did he send that in twice?
I don't believe so.
I know I've seen it before.
But he did send in another joke, which is just that they say 50% of all marriages end in divorce, which isn't as bad as it sounds, considering that the other 50% end in death.
That's how mine's going to end.
She's going to kill you. She'll kill you, make you die.
Yep, run and tell
that. I'm burning hell.
Either that or my poor lifestyle choices are going to kill me.
One or the other.
You could change your lifestyle choices. Stop taking so much dick up your ass.
Nope. Tim has chosen. It's like Gozer the Gozerian.
Poorly.
Yeah, you're just going to waste away to a little skeleton and then explode while strangling a bitch. my wife and I were having a conversation earlier in the week, and...
Well, that can only lead to trouble.
Yep.
That's why my wife and I never do that.
Yep.
I didn't do my tan joke.
That's probably the safer option. But she was talking about, just having had kind of a perhaps overly emotional moment earlier, and she was just saying, well, thanks for... not getting too up my ass about that. I know I was kind of having a little me moment there. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. She's like, I think it's just sort of maybe some of the nature of my sex. I think a lot of women just kind of freak out like that. She's like, what have your experiences been? I said, would you, if you were being a little bit reductive, would you maybe rephrase that as bitches be tripping? And after about 10 minutes of pushing, I got her to rephrase it as bitches be tripping. I said, in that case, yes, I would agree. Bitches be tripping.
I'd say some do it more than others.
I would agree.
Some less emotional.
Yes, but those ones have penises.
Those are my favorite.
Nice one, Tim.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Are you? Are you just going to be sitting here waiting?
Do nothing.
Right. Noah, your tan laugh?
Quick, actually, well, I'll do my tan laugh and then I'll tell you a little story. I don't think we told this one, so here we go. Why does a bride always wear white?
Told it.
Okay.
No, I'm just totally pulling your chain.
You're a dickhead.
I know.
All right, I'm going to start again, because Andy's dickhead. Why does a bride always wear white?
To match the dishwasher.
Well, aren't all the kitchen appliances that color? Close.
Nice. I don't think we have told that particular version of it.
So backstory. When I was in high school, there was this white, blonde-haired kid that always would hang out with the black guys. I think he grew up in East Palo Alto, which is where a lot of black people lived back in the day and still today. And actually, a lot of minorities live there, I should say, not just black people. So someone from my high school posted a picture of them all together, and he was the one white kid in the whole picture. It was probably like... probably 15 black guys, one white kid. I just posted, one of these things is not like the other. No one commented on it.
No one did what?
No one commented on my comment. They just were like, oh, I remember this back in the... Oh, is that Ronnie? I'm like, don't you get that joke? There's one fucking white. And he wasn't like, I'm kind of tan. No, he was fucking white. That is all.
Was he the designated not get pulled over by the cops driver?
I don't know. And much later, I worked with him at Google.
Oh. Was he still white?
He was still white.
Wait, did he do a reverse Michael Jackson?
Oh, no. Took me a second.
Darken. Isn't that called just a George Hamilton? Or is it an Eminem? I'm not sure if we're talking literally or metaphorically.
Yikes.
Yikes, you!
So how was everyone's week?
Mine was good.
I'm guessing it ended on somewhat of a busy, tiring note.
You are correct.
Lots of travel?
Yeah, I just went up and down to L.A., and actually all the way to Irvine yesterday. Because the wife came back from Colorado, so picked her up at the airport, and then drove down to Irvine, and then drove back to be with newly returned wife. Had a sweet set in Irvine, though.
Did you? Did you rip it up?
Yes. I ripped it up and ripped it out. Sold a CD while I was there, so maybe we have a new listener. Hello, person whose name I forgot to ask because it was in the hustle and bustle of the end of the show. Thank you for buying a CD.
You're the best person.
And then two people bought a CD at Rooster's here in Sunnyvale the previous Wednesday. So thank you, two people.
If you're listening to this, go ahead and comment. Let us know who you were.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to the fold.
The vagina fold.
Whew. Oh, I think I have some sleepy, too.
Hooray for sleepy!
New bed, still getting used to it.
Oh, yeah, getting used to it.
That means the inaugural fuck.
Oh, we spent a lot of money on that bed.
Fuck, you better keep that shit for a long time.
Yeah, well, like the rest of my life, so that'll be...
Really?
Yeah, it's got like a 20-year warranty on it.
Really, Tim? Really, you're saying you're calling him out, keeping mattress for the rest of his life. You wanted to hold on to this stinky couch for the rest of your life.
That's different. You're supposed to change your mattress every couple of years for your back support.
No. It's one of those foam mattresses.
Really? How often did you change your mattress before you were with Danelle?
Regularly, like clockwork.
Like you still had that broken ass sad bed frame. I think the frame didn't even hold the bed right anymore.
I think the frame was just given up and just piled in the corner of the room, actually. I didn't say you had to replace your frame every couple of years. You have to replace the mattress.
I would just say, if you didn't bother to replace your broken bed frame, I don't think you're up on the mattress replacing.
Well, I think that is a specious argument.
Ooh, looking at you using the big boy words.
Let's find out if I used it correctly.
You did.
Woohoo!
Anyways, what were you going to say, Andy?
That it's one of those Tempur-Pedic mattresses. It's
it has a temper tantrum?
It does.
It goes, a temper tantrum just against smile kids. And blow me!
And lulls you to sleep with sounds of Mel Gibson. Not Mel. Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Yes, Mel Gibson. Not Mel Brooks.
Not Mel Brooks.
Mel Blanc.
Blow me, bitch.
I assume that's the guy who did Bugs Bunny's voice?
Yes.
He did almost all the Looney Tunes, with the exception of Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, he basically was the Billy West of Looney Tunes.
Billy West is the Mel Blanc of Futurama. I got it. I fucking said it. Don't fucking tell me my business.
Ooh!
I'm sure you'd make it all the way there.
Hey, I think we are probably the only podcast that talks... I mean, we don't really talk about current events like that's our thing, but didn't mention LeBron James once in the past three episodes where it had happened.
I do believe that is because I do not give a shit about basketball.
Woohoo!
I mean, I can't speak for the other two of you. One of you certainly could have brought it up in that time. But speaking for myself, it's because I don't give a shit about basketball.
Andy, do you give a shit about basketball?
No, Tim, I actually do not give a shit. I would go so far as to say I give a nigga shit about basketball.
What about pee? Do you give a pee about basketball?
No one ever talks about that. People always talk about not you give a shit. What about urine? I don't give a urine.
What about a little leak? Just a little, oops, I couldn't hold it.
How about a fart? I don't give a fart.
What about shart? Would you give a shart about basketball?
I also do not give a shart about basketball.
All right. I'll accept that.
Could you give a shart? Could you give a fart?
Excellent.
These are excellent questions. Very philosophical.
Noah, did you give a shit either?
About basketball?
Well, LeBron James specifically.
Oh, I don't care. Rich black people, I don't give a shit. No.
What about rich white people? Do you give a shit about them?
Oh, yeah. Fucking love rich white people.
It's a sad state.
It's not about being rich black people. It's the showboating. It's the fact that the sport has almost no defense. It typically degrades to we run down and take a shot. We make it or we don't. But they run down and take a shot. They make it or they don't. Run to the other side, take a shot, make it or they don't. And really, when you get to when the sport has so little integrity that a dude choking out his coach like gets less than a slap on the wrist.
You could say that about most sports where people are fucking up and they don't really get the justice that they deserve. Like, that is not strictly a basketball thing. Baseball,
well, I would
people
say it's
doing steroids.
It's a fame thing, too. You definitely have a good point there. But the dude specifically choked his coach. And like,
sometimes you got to choke a coach.
I guess.
And Tim's got a point.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a coach?
Thank Dave Chappelle, bitch. Thank you, Dave.
Run, bitch, run for your life. So we're actually quoting the Dave Chappelle show as opposed to his stand-up.
Yeah.
In case listeners are uninitiated.
In case you're keeping tabs.
Now you've been initiated.
Well, that was a good tan cast.
I don't really think basketball is worse or better than any other sport. I would say it's more exciting than most sports.
Well, it's definitely more exciting than baseball.
I would say hockey. It's more exciting than hockey.
Yeah, I'd argue it's more exciting than hockey.
Oh.
Football, I guess that's probably about the same. Although, there are some long, drawn-out things in football. Like, oh, timeout. We got to huddle.
Like the game?
Yeah. Like the whole process.
Yeah, that is true. But there are...
Chickens.
My dad always said that he loved football, not for the overall game, but for watching it for those... those little moments of excellence when it's, you know, like first and goal on the 1 yard line and the defense holds out, you know, either denies a score, takes the ball away and runs it back. Or you've got, you know, the offense, you're down by 6 points and your quarterback is standing in his own end zone and he throws a long ball to a guy who's in coverage. The guy goes up, gets the ball, and then outruns all the coverage and takes it all the way back down for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, you could say that about most sports. There's going to be moments. I would say you could say about all sports. There's going to be those amazing moments. I can't believe.
Here's what I've learned. I enjoy documentaries about sports figures.
Really?
Because it's kind of like that that Moment of Truth sketch on Robot Chicken that Noah was talking about, where it's like they, you know, here's how it would be if they cut out all the bullshit. That is what sports documentaries are. They're like, don't sit through all fucking 9 innings. Here, boom, he hits a home run. Then we talk about how it affected everybody, and that's it. We're on to the next game.
This
done.
Pitch killed a seagull.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up.
Was that
I've
a seagull?
Been watching.
Oh, the famous ball kills bird thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or were you just saying
probably
seagull
randomly?
Probably a pigeon. I was just saying a seagull.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking, you, like, if you think about the shit that had to happen, for that to have to happen at a particular moment, right in that spot, blows my mind.
Sucks for that seagull.
Fucking, that bird was
like
just
his seagull friends are like,
feathers.
That is you are the most unlucky motherfucker ever. That was like some Final Destination shit for that seagull. Like, that seagull. Oh, speaking of that, I saw the movie The Final Destination. It should be called The Shitty Sequel.
Well, is that the one that was in 3D?
Yeah.
I guess I assumed you didn't watch it in 3D.
No, yeah, I'm not willing to accept the explanation that that's what ruined it.
No. I'm not saying that it did. I would say maybe I might add a little something to it. I don't know. I haven't seen it either way, so I cannot speak on that. I am excited about Jackass in 3D, though.
Yes, I saw a preview for that. I was like, yes. Once again, I will go see it.
I think we're going to see Steve-O's penis sticking out of the screen.
This is one movie where I think 3D definitely will add something. Fucking the bomb's coming towards my face.
Supposedly
again,
the 3D
like,
adds something to that Step Up 3D movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you're not being funny?
No. Like reviews have said that, like, you know, the plot's paper thin and, you know, the acting is subpar and it's like the worst MTV meth addict quick cut camera work. But that when the actual dancing is happening and whatever, that the 3D actually adds to the experience of the movie as opposed to just being a gimmick.
I don't know what's worse. The fact that you fucking read a review about Step Up 3D. Or that you wear Crocs.
Or that you memorized it to use again later.
Really? It's like, I need to.
I literally read that review like 2 hours
40
ago.
40 times.
And then I saw the movie. It was amazing.
And then I posted it on my fridge.
He's like, you know what he's not telling us? He wrote that fucking review.
Yeah, I wrote that review for CNN. I'm secretly CNN's culture and entertainment writer. Sorry, okay, I'll be honest. I'm secretly CNN.com's culture and entertainment writer.
You're so gay, Andy.
My wife's making eggs, but you can't have any.
Yeah. Here's the consensus on Rotten Tomatoes. It may not contain believable acting or a memorable plot, but Step Up 3D delivers solid choreography and stunning visuals.
I like how
visuals.
Andy is looking this shit up. Like, listen, guys, let me fucking straighten you out on Step Up 3D, all right? I don't see why you guys keep fighting me on this.
Here's what it's all about.
I was really surprised because I thought it was going to be like a dance movie with, I don't know, water droplets flying out of the screen. That it was going to appeal to that lowest common denominator teenage. Ooh!
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's the Citizen Kane of dance movies for the MTV generation.
All right. It seems to me that plot in Step Up 3D is like plot in a porno or a Twilight movie.
Oh, speaking of that, the porno parody The Devil Wears Nada. Can't recommend it.
You watched it?
Yeah, it was on HBO. My HBO was coming to a close, so I've been watching pretty much anything I can on HBO, and that was not worth it.
But they actually have full-on porn on HBO? It's not like that.
No, it's that, like, Skinamax stuff where they're not, you know, the genitals are actually 15 feet away from each other.
That's weak sauce.
Well, what are you going
to do? Not watch it.
Well, all right. You've already accomplished that.
I'm judging you.
You don't even have to work at it.
I'm judging you, Tim.
Why are you judging me?
Your choice of movie watching.
Well, I thought The Devil Wears Prada starred Anne Hathaway, so I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to get someone who looks like Anne Hathaway. No, an Asian lady. What? Not even close.
Really? You're going to call about their casting choices?
I am. I'm going to be like, listen, let's get some casting decisions that make sense.
let me get it on the casting. I'll pick some good people for you.
So the sports documentaries I've been watching recently have been about boxing. So like Joe Louis, Joe Frazier, and Mike Tyson. And here's what I've learned: boxing does not treat its former athletes well. Like fucking shit is good for a while, and then shit sucks. Like Joe Frazier was the heavyweight champion of the world. I think he defeated. Yes, he. I know he did. He defeated Muhammad Ali. Once, and then there was two rematches where he lost by decision, the other where like they stopped the fight, but they could have easily just as easily stopped it for Muhammad Ali at the same time because they were both just fucking beat to shit. Muhammad Ali is, I mean, granted, he's not doing particularly well either. Also, that's the other thing I learned: Muhammad Ali kind of a douche. But
yeah.
So this dude, like, you know, he's not like. He's like living in like a shack in fucking ghettos of Philadelphia. And he was the world heavyweight champion.
Now, was it just like Cheetah Valley or him making stupid decisions?
You could argue a little of both, but it was mostly like it's because Muhammad Ali got all the respect, and so people just sort of like, you know, no one gives a shit about him. No one's licensing, you know, Joe Frazier video games, t-shirts, stuff like that. There's no Will Smith's not going to play him in a movie. Although he was represented in that movie, I can't remember how. Oh, it's like, okay, so you both have seen Ali, right? The movie?
Yes.
Or know enough about his life that I'm going to be able to tell you this. And, well, here we go. Ali refused to fight in the Vietnam War as a conscientious objector, so he was banned from boxing, and then he couldn't make any money, and shit was bad for him for a while. So Joe Frazier helped him out in that meantime. Like, gave him money, fought to get his license back, and then as soon as he gets his license back, Muhammad Ali just constantly trash-talking Joe Frazier. Like, in a way that's like at the time, like, he would call him an Uncle Tom, which I guess at the time held a lot of weight, because Muhammad Ali was pretty respected in the black community, and, like, he was, like, his kid was talking about, like, how it was hard growing up at school, because, like, people would all be like, oh, you Joe Frazier's kid, he an Uncle Tom, you an Uncle Tom! It's like, fuck! And then, kept calling him, like, a gorilla and a monkey when they were doing the Thriller in Manila, which is actually what this documentary was called. Just rough.
You really feel for these guys, Tim.
Yeah. I was telling Danelle about the Joe Louis documentary, and I was like, I don't know why I'm suddenly so passionate about this. I tell you the story. Because, like, he was, like, the second ever black heavyweight champion, and the first one that was really embraced by the American people. Because I guess the first one... I can't remember his name, but, like, he was just too cocky and, you know, it was early on in black-white relations that people were, you know, basically mainstream America didn't, or when I say mainstream America, I mean fucking white America, was, you know, didn't like him. And so, it's so much so that they wouldn't give another black guy a shot at the title until Joe Louis. And then, he beats this guy who's, I'm cutting out some of the fat of this story, but it's amazingly enough, even though I'm still blathering, but, even though I'm Andy-ing the story all up. All
right.
But anyway, so there was this German guy, and this was during the rise of World War II, and he was sort of like Hitler's golden boy. And, so he beats this guy in a fight, but like the entire country was watching, and it was just, you know, it was like, you know, America is better than Germany. Like, that was, like, the sentiment at the time because of the fact that this guy won this fight, Joe Louis. And then, you know, he's, like, the people's champion, and he, you know, defends his title many more times, but then World War II fully breaks out. He stops making all this money fighting all these people, joins the service, you know, isn't on the front lines, but is still, you know, like, raising money and, you know, raising the, what do you call it, morale of the troops by staging these exhibitions. But... at one point, he buys tickets. This is at a time when the fucking service wasn't integrated. So, like, this black guy is helping promote the armed forces that if he wasn't famous, you know, wouldn't look at him or basically would treat him like shit. And don't worry, they eventually do. He gets out. He had bought tickets for servicemen to see his exhibition who couldn't afford it and tried to deduct it on his taxes. The IRS says, no, you can't do that. Now he's got this backlog of taxes that he can't pay off, and the debt, and like, he just has to keep constantly, like, you know, doing these shitty fights, even though he's, like, a little, you know, past his prime for fighting. And then the what do you call it, the back tax, the back interest keeps piling up, and so the taxes just keep getting worse, and now he's been defeated, like, horribly defeated, and can't fight anymore, so now he's doing all this shit, like, he's hawking T-shirts and cigarettes and Coke, and not Coca-Cola, but, like, his actual, like, a Joe Louis drink or something. And it's, and now he's, like, doing shitty variety shows where he's, like, tap dances and shit. He goes on until he's, like, 50, until finally he marries a lawyer who's able to, and now he's goes, like, over $1 million in back taxes, so she's able to convince the government to let go the back taxes as long as he continues to pay the future taxes, and now he's a greeter at fucking Caesar's Palace. He's like a Walmart greeter, but at a casino. Then he has, a stroke and a heart attack. He's confined to a wheelchair, but still has to be a greeter because he needs the money, and then he dies. I'm like, fuck! This dude was an American hero, an icon, and like, and now he's like, "Welcome to Caesar's." I'm dead.
I think the basic gist of your story is life sucks for black people.
Yeah, and Tyson's
don't,
not dead,
don't
but
get
his
famous
documentary
because
didn't
when your shitty life leads you to being a greeter at Walmart because you need the money to supplement your Social Security income that's not sufficient for you to buy, you know, like food and medicine. At least you will never have been famous, so it will be less tragic and heartrending.
Not only famous, but, like, fucked by the government that he helped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you're like, oh, I was George Michael. I had some hits in the 80s, and now shit's gone bad. All right, well, sometimes that happens. What are you going to do?
I'm
Hammer. I really loved all of my friends and really wanted them to have some of the sweet life, so I spent all my money on them, and now I'm poor and a preacher.
Oh, I should also mention Muhammad Ali called him an Uncle Tom as well, because Muhammad Ali appears to be a douchebag who just loves calling people Uncle Tom.
Who does like to call me Uncle Tom?
No, you're Uncle Tom.
You're fucking Uncle Tom.
Too late, I beat you to it, bitch.
I can call you Uncle Tom back.
Hey, guys, let's be fair. I'm an Uncle Tom.
No, Andy, you're an Aunt Tom.
Oh, zingle like an eagle. He just called you a woman.
It's the micropenis, isn't it?
A little bit.
The micropenis.
It's sad. That's a medical term. I bet that's a medical term no one ever wants to get saddled with.
You suffer, Mr. Johnson, ironically enough, you're suffering from a micropenis.
What's amazing, though, I bet somewhere out there is a woman that has a fetish for a guy with micropenis.
And thanks to the internet, those two can find each other.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, all is well.
Because it's a beautiful world, in spite of American heroes dying of strokes on their wheelchair at Caesar's Palace.
He was friends with Frank Sinatra. Let's throw that out there because I wasn't able to work it into my narrative, but it was an interesting fact, I thought.
Fair enough. Want to tell us any more fucked up black people stories?
Do I have any more fucked up black people stories?
Yeah.
Tyson's story was kind of fucked up as well, as you might imagine.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see that one.
I can't remember what channel that was. I saw that one when I was house sitting a couple weeks back. But it was weird because you hear it from Tyson's point of view, and even then you're like, fuck, this is fucked up. I can't imagine the more objective point of view of this story. The not like, I'm going to say it, you know, so I don't sound so bad. Like, this already sounds pretty bad. No? Nothing? All right.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm...
You're not
right
picking
there with
up
you.
What I'm putting down?
Well, I mean, look at the facial tattoo. Obviously, things did not go as a reasonable person would have hoped for Mike Tyson.
Oh, excuse me.
Bless you. Like he said during his last fight, like he even said, like after he was, bless you, he even said as he was being interviewed at the end of the fight, like he knew he wasn't going to be able to beat that guy. He just needed the money. Like, so he just hopped in the ring to take a pounding.
Wow.
That's how you gotta do it.
And take a pounding he did. Like, you see him, like, just on the ground, like, whew, that hurts. He just has that look on his face, like, ooh, that was a lot of pain right there. I would just assume that didn't happen.
But I will take the paycheck. Oh, I think I'm gonna need a new kidney. How much did that cost? More than I made. Oh, well, fuck me. Okay.
I better invest quickly.
No, I can't. I already gave up on the one kidney. That was the last one. I know I
how
had
much
a pair.
Would, but... how much would it take to get you guys in a boxing ring? With somebody who would clearly, who you were clearly outmatched, which
cocaine.
I think for all of us would be just about any boxer.
It would not be measured. It would be measured in grams of cocaine, not dollars.
What?
You would have to get me high as a motherfucker to get into a boxing ring without training.
What if it was against Glass Joe from Punch Out?
Oh, shit. Give me $5, I'll beat that pansy bitch.
Those fuckers hit hard.
Yes.
Yeah, because they wear big things on their fists, which makes it so they don't break their fists, so they can just swing their arm at full speed.
I don't know. I mean, I guess really it would be, what would it take for you to take one really hard punch? Because I think after the first punch, I'd be like, fucking down. Be like, I'm done.
I think I'd get really good at dodging and taking a fall.
Why? Why?
That
you
would
even...
be my boxing training.
I would just put my arms up and be like, I hope he doesn't break anything.
I would make sure that first punch whiffs right by my ear or, you know, glances off of, like, you know, a cheekbone or something like that, and I just go out. Willing myself while tense and, you know, extremely adrenaline-filled to still be able to go completely limp like a rag doll. That would be my boxing training. I think I might even learn to poop myself.
Just on will.
That's an important skill.
You know, actually, that might be a great self-defense idea. Somebody comes to mug you and you just poop yourself?
last night at the Irvine Improv, there was this comedian named Tom Clark.
He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up.
Who has this joke about, you know, when a woman's being attacked, she's not supposed to yell help, she's supposed to yell fire. Because apparently everybody loves to come see a fire. And then he goes, I think it'd be funny if a man was being mugged if he yelled rape. Just because it would confuse the mugger. Like, give me your money. Rape! No. No. That's not why. Oh, you want it? Start undoing your pants. Like, no. What? And, like, the mugger runs away. You start chasing after him with your pants down. Come back here! You promised!
Oh, nice. I thought that joke was going to go a lot darker direction if everyone likes to see a rape.
No.
I'm just now uncringing.
All right.
It hurt my soul a little. We haven't talked about Prop 8 on here. I know Tim wrote up a fairly great blog post, by the way, buddy.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up.
Good job.
And also, I thought there were some very good comments on said blog post by, like, Joe and Alyssa and Mike.
Good all around.
There was some good discussion. I always really like it when our fans participate. Fans, sorry. Listeners, people who tolerate us, participate.
They can be fans.
They could be, but I don't want to assume. Like, you know, I like it when people, you know, tweet or Facebook or just leave comments in the comment section. It's like, oh, okay. They're picking up what we're putting down, or they're not, and we need to alter what we're doing. Not necessarily alter, but I mean, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Anyway. Mm-hmm. So Prop 8.
I'm really interested that, like, basically, I don't know, maybe 4 people or something like that in Washington have talked about it. There's like not a big, and I gotta say it's probably because of the whole Arizona thing that Republicans have their go-to make people afraid issue. They don't need to pick on the fags; they've got the Browns.
The Cleveland Browns?
If it's Browns,
yes, the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, but like seriously, like not a peep, very very little in the way of people pounding and screaming and, you know, talking about activist judges and voter nullification. Hey, fucktards, it's what the judiciary's for. It's to nullify the will of the majority to protect the minority from them.
Oh, yeah, I also thought that was a good comment.
That was
I thought it was even better when Jon Stewart made it, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well.
I kid the Andy.
Yeah. I can't help it. Great minds think alike. I don't think I've seen that episode yet, actually.
No, it was good. Good. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, ow.
Don't hurt yourself.
I just spun my chair into my crotch. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it seems like a bad idea.
Shit, there was something I was going to say about Prop 8, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, well, just in case people who don't know, Prop 8 was the measure that California voters voted on the same year we elected Barack Obama to say, fuck you, gays, you can't get married.
Anymore.
Right. So that has been over overturned by a openly gay judge, apparently. I didn't realize the judge was openly gay, but he's also a conservative Republican appointed by Ronald Reagan. So I thought that was that just makes more sense to me that the Republicans would be against a ban on gay marriage. Like, fuck you, government. You can't tell me who – get out of my business about who I'm marrying.
Yeah,
it's
part of the core hypocrisy of the right wing. They will be more than happy to get right into the middle of things if they can make their base afraid. So, you know, gays are different. Immigrants are different. Anything that they can latch onto along those lines to inspire fear. Fear inspires turnout. Turnout inspires election. Election gets them fucking rich.
Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Yeah.
Thank you, Yoda.
Problem is not. Oh. Yoda farted.
You are silly.
I think that fart had a visitor.
When 900 years old you reach, fart as much you will, yes?
Probably true. I look forward to that point in my life. I doubt I'll reach it, but the point where farts get cute again?
It all comes full circle.
Farts never stop being cute, sir. On the good ship, lollips. That was some Shirley Temple, for those who weren't listening.
Disgusting.
Okay, so the judge has overturned it, so now it's probably going to go to the appellate court? Is that the next step?
I don't know if it might go straight to the California Supreme Court.
I thought, I thought that guy was on the California Supreme Court, but I guess not, because he was just a San Francisco judge, I believe.
Yeah, I think they'd have to file district court beforehand. I don't know. I understand the overall working of the judiciary, which is to determine the legality of specific laws under the main law of the land. But the actual workings of, like, lawsuits and shit, not so much no.
You're not a lawyer, Andy?
No, I'm not.
You can't. So this podcast does not represent legal advice?
Well,
I like it when podcast or whatever, something that's generally entertainment, like, it has a disclaimer. Like, if there's a lawyer involved, it'll say, like, this does not constitute actual legal advice. Like, really? No shit? I shouldn't take legal advice from this YouTube video? You're crazy.
I think the sadder thing is they have to do that to cover their ass.
Yeah. That is what I meant. I didn't mean it's sad that they do it. It's sad. Like, I picture the person in court. Your Honor, I was listening to the Wacky Legal Brothers podcast, and they assured me.
They assured me.
I took it as legal counsel that it was all right for me to pull my pecker out in front of everybody. Case dismissed.
Yeah, it's a sad one.
Anyway, so my point is it, that there's a chance that this could end up going to the Supreme Court, and apparently there are four social conservatives, four social liberals, progressives, I guess, and then one moderate. So it's going to be kind of a nail biter,
and
if it
goes
to the Supreme Court.
It will probably be a while before that happens, right?
True.
So let's see here: District Chief Judge, U.S. District Court. So it was a federal. He was in San Francisco, but it was a federal case. So it's already gone beyond California state.
I, for some reason, I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
Because it was the case.
that was the reason.
I think I've figured out the mystery. Call off the mystery wagon.
So I don't know who oversees the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California.
Yo, mama. Oh, snap.
Yo, daddy. Yo, big old hairy granny.
They are appealed to the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit because it's not a patent case.
Has it already been appealed? Is that what you're saying?
No. I looked up. Thank you, Wikipedia. The U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, and the second paragraph says cases for the Northern District of California are appealed to the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. So the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals handles Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Montana, Idaho, Hawaii, California, Arizona, Alaska. Oh, and Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands.
Good old Guam.
And is also in San Francisco.
What an unbelievable coincidence.
And I believe that after the Ninth Circuit, you go to the Supremes.
The Supremes? Like Diana Ross?
Yeah.
Stop in the name of gay.
I don't know.
Let the fags get married, babe. What the fuck's it to you, babe? Ooh.
Your God may not be there, God babe, but they'll keep fucking on. Ooh.
I forget who somebody has a stand-up bit like, just because you said, like, they're not, you realize if you stop them from getting married, they're not going to stop being gay. Like, they're still fucking each other. I want you to understand that.
Biggity bang.
And it's not like the government can force a church to let gay people get married in there. That's the other half of that separation of church and state thing.
Yeah, someone did, some YouTube video tried to make that argument. I'm
I think they made that argument in one of the actual played on TV advertisements.
Wow.
I think it was called, like, the Whether You Like It or Not or something like that. Yeah, I love this whole idea, this whole message coming from the fucking far right wing, and it just been shoved down everybody's throat, of this gay agenda.
I do want to say there has not been enough from the left wing that I can say that it's, you know, that you can lay all the blame at the shoulders of the right wing.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree that, like, Al Gore, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, tons of people who should be, you know, moderate or left of center have, you know, sort of, you know, civil unions. I don't want to pick up that. I don't want to pick up that bomb or whatever. It's like liberals will not stand for gay marriage unless they're out of office.
Some bullshit, yo.
Yep.
However, this does raise the question, if we vote in marijuana, well, we... Sorry, Andy. If we vote in marijuana this year, is that just going to get turned over in the courts?
Well, to get turned over in the courts, it would have to be unconstitutional.
Well, isn't it federal law that marijuana is illegal?
Yeah, see, actually, that's an interesting argument, and I don't know enough.
All right.
It's this whole idea of there are specific articles in the Constitution that lay out what the federal government's powers are, and part of it does include the ability to tax and regulate interstate commerce. But it specifically says that powers that aren't given to the federal government devolve to the states. So the question is, did the Constitution give the federal government the ability to overturn state law? Like, if a state specifically says that marijuana is legal, does the federal government have the ability to overturn that based on any of the clauses or amendments currently in the Constitution?
So wouldn't that also apply to Prop 8?
Now, see, Prop 8 comes at it from the opposite side, which is Equal Protection Clause, I think is the name of it. So Prop 8 is the argument against Prop 8 is that it is denying rights to people who must, under the Constitution, be treated fairly and equally. And there have been previous court findings, you know, like dealing with segregation, that separate isn't equal. So civil unions, especially since it doesn't actually establish kinship, you know, maybe it gives you things like access to healthcare and other shit like that. But in terms of, like, you know, acting as somebody's healthcare proxy if they're dying, inheritance rights, you know, after death taxation, all the rest of that stuff, not equal. So the idea there is not whether it's the state or the federal government or whatever. It's that the Constitution says that people have to be treated equally. That's a core founding principle of this country. And Prop 8 does not do that. Therefore, Prop 8 is unconstitutional. Whether or not marijuana is legal seems more like because it's health-based, you know, taking in things to your body that would be harmful to you.
Well, dick can be harmful to you.
Well.
It's a gateway genitalia.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're going to be sticking hookahs up your butt.
It leads to harder stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what's harder than a big, stiff, gay dick.
Mine right now.
All right.
Just kidding. Oh, wait. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So anyways, in terms of being healthcare or commerce or whatever related, the legalization and taxation of marijuana starts to get into some different areas. At least that's my understanding.
I wonder if we're actually going to vote for it or not. Like, I don't know about California. Sometimes I think we're cool, and other times we vote for Prop 8.
I don't know. Yeah, but a lot of people in California have tried pot, and a lot of those people are over 50.
Yeah, but a lot of people live in the middle of fucking nowhere and for some reason think pot is out to kill us.
It is out to kill us.
You know what I found about the middle of fucking nowhere?
What's that?
Of those places grow pot.
Oh, all right. Well, so you're saying people who may have been against gay marriage are still probably okay with pot.
They may be.
You think if you were smoking enough pot, you'd be like, man, I don't care who gets married. Whatever, bro. I'm just invite me to the wedding and let me have a Twinkie.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, all right.
All right, all right.
Well, I've never smoked marijuana, and I'm voting for it. And I probably know, even if it becomes legal, I probably still never will, but I'm voting for it. So, California, pot the vote, as Doug Benson would say.
Oh, Dougie.
Dougie Fresh.
Man, what I love is that there have been, like, medical studies done recently, and, like, alcohol is, in terms of overall impact, you know, to the user's health, that user's danger to other people, so, you know, the externalized costs of, like, you know, drunk driving and blah, blah, blah. Like, all spouse abuse and all the other things that come with it. Like, all, if you factor in all of the costs, apparently pot is far less dangerous to society than legal alcohol. Like, cocaine, I think, was lower than alcohol.
Wow.
I don't know. Let's see if I can find that.
No, crazy. Andy, don't.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That is. You gotta listen to, I forgot that guy's name.
Rick Dave James. Chappelle?
Rick James.
Oh. I saw some new footage of Dave Chappelle at the Laugh Factory in L.A. Doing a joke about man rape. Have you seen it, Noah?
No.
Well, either of you.
No, I've not.
I just know Noah, obviously, the hard Dave Chappelle number one super fan. Ooh, pardon me.
I don't know about all that.
Number one super fan.
I don't know about all that, baby.
Number one super fan, yeah.
Skippy-doo-wop, beady-boo.
You don't think you're a Dave Chappelle number one super fan?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. I do enjoy some Dave Chappelle. Super fan. No, I didn't even see him do stand up live. I think a super fan would have seen him do stand up live more than one time.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, I've seen Brian Regan like 3 or 4 times.
Oh,
and
you?
I would not consider myself George... a Brian Regan super fan.
I know. I never saw George Carlin live, but I wouldn't consider myself number one super fan. But I'm up there. I'm in the low number super fan.
Well, right, but you didn't really have the opportunity to see him live.
Whoa, Noah.
I did,
you are
actually.
Way
he was
too
here
excited,
in...
man. You need to calm down.
He was here in Saratoga. He was up in Saratoga a couple times, and I was like, uh-huh. I'm busy. Mm. They is treating us good. Mm. I had to beat Noah to it. There you go. There's Dave Chappelle's man rape bit. He's climbing in your windows.
He's snatching your people up.
I've performed on that very stage. That is some weird shit.
So, you, like, when you were, like, of legal age, like, 18, there was times where George Carlin was near you and you didn't go see him?
Yep. When we were living together, there was a couple times when he was up here and I didn't see him. I'm a failure. That's what I'm telling you.
Yep.
Like, I was like, I'll be tired from work and I gotta work the next day. I'm like, oh. I'd rather go sing karaoke. I'm pretty sure I never said that.
Ooh. Mm. That burp came with some chest pain.
Oh, speaking of which, how is your chest doing?
It's weird. Like, the pain is pretty much gone for the whole week, and then, like, Friday just got this shooting pain right in the exact same spot again. So, I've got another test on Tuesday.
Do you think maybe your wife is punching you in the chest while you sleep?
No, but she did knee me in the back you? The other day. It's like, I've got more pillows near the bed than I actually needed on the bed, because sometimes, like, I'll pick one up so I can lay on my side and just, like, throw a shoulder over it, so, you know, I'm not, like, just face down into the mattress trying to suffocate myself slowly to death. So I grabbed one of those throw-under-the-shoulder pillows and put it behind my back to protect me from the knees. She woke up, she's like, what's this pillow? I said, that pillow's there for my protection.
I need to be protected.
Yes, we'll call that a prophylactic pillow.
Are you guys watching the clip?
No.
Oh, okay.
Should I be?
I don't know. You linked to it, motherfucker.
I've seen it.
All right, motherfucker.
Mm.
Yeah, I've just been trying to find the studies that were done. It was a British guy, and it was like 2 years ago, maybe?
Just some British guy smoking pot. I'm fine. Yep, still good.
Researcher, actually, like, published in medical journals and shit like that. I just can't find it right now. So, kids,
hello.
Go out and
I'm
Google.
I'm smoking the pot, and I'm all right. See? Good on ya. Pip, pip, cheerio. Chim, chim, cheree.
Ah, Tim's British guy.
Spot on. Spot on.
Joe's like, I would like to take back my tan laugh, asshole. May I put forth the concept that perhaps we are winding down?
I believe you're probably correct, and as you're incredibly nappy time already, I think it's a good time to cut off.
Nappy time?
Cut off your balls and dick.
Hey, no cutting off balls and dick.
Don't cut off balls and dick?
No. You can't do that.
All right, well.
Just before we go.
Yes.
My wife and I tried to watch the second Night at the Museum movie, The Battle of the Smithsonian.
Tried to watch leads me to believe it is not good.
Yeah. HBO apparently decided, well, it wasn't terrible. It had its moments, but like it was kind of a grind to get through. But you get to the very, very end, and then the recording ended, because apparently HBO felt the need to push everything off by 17 minutes.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Speaking of number two movies, really quick, have you seen the X-Files I Want to Believe movie?
Have I?
Yes,
I have.
It like came out like a year or two ago?
Yeah, it had Billy Connolly.
Did it? I haven't seen it. Is it any good? Is it better than the first one?
No, it's not better than the first one.
Wow. Fuck it. All right, then I will. Now Playing is doing a X-Files retrospective. I'm like, there's two movies. Like, how much retrospecting do you really need to do? Like, we're going to do X-Files twice. Yeah. Anyway, so I listened to the first one because it was the one I saw, and they're very spoiler-filled. So I'm like, I don't know if I should listen to the second one or if I should see the movie first, but apparently I'll just listen to it. Although, I did that with Terminator Salvation, then I just recently watched it because, again, trying to get through all the HBO I can before this time next week. Terminator Salvation, not that bad.
Really?
I would say better than 3.
Yeah, 3 had some issues.
Although I was interested to know, like, why the movie is the way it is, Terminator Salvation. Like, have you seen it?
No, but we're going to be picking it up on HBO, I think, today.
All right. Well, the movie is about two characters, one of them being John Connor, another being another character named Marcus.
And I know the secret about Marcus, so go ahead.
No, I wasn't even going to bother dealing with the secret.
Okay.
But the movie was going to be pretty much about Marcus and Kyle Reese. And I think they offered Christian Bale the role of Marcus. And they're like, so we're making Terminator Salvation. We want you to be in it. He's like, great. I want to be John Connor. John Connor was going to be a non-entity in the movie, basically just a voice on the radio. But because they're like, oh, well, the only way to get him is to make him John Connor, we're going to rewrite the whole movie. So now it's kind of two mishmash plots that don't really make sense together. Like, there's a lot of it that's like, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Why would Skynet do that?
Well, really?
But it was, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
I think it would have been better if they just kept John Connor as, like, a non-entity and still had Christian Bale play him.
Yeah, because he was a non-entity in the first one.
So they have him all in all the posters and everything, and then it's the bait and switch when you get in the theater. I mean, I'm sure it would piss a lot of people off, but they do that all the time in movies, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's kind of successful. Like, oh, this guy in the movie. And you're like, oh, that guy's hardly in the movie. Oh, Drew Barrymore in Scream, for instance. Sometimes it can be done quite effectively.
Yeah.
Janet Leigh in Psycho. Tim Babb in anything.
put more Tim Babb.
Wow, Tim was barely in that. How about Steven Seagal in Executive Decision?
Yeah, see? And well, I was made happier by the fact that he was in it less.
Yeah, me too.
It's not like, you know.
I was like, I'm going to have to put up with like, Steven Seagal this
now
whole
I don't
movie.
Have to deal with Steven Seagal anymore? And done.
Yeah. This movie just got better. I love just that little tiny rag doll body just floating out into the jet stream.
Now I have to go be a real police officer on a reality show.
Oh, and my wife and I, she had never seen Avatar, so I got her Avatar, and then we watched half of Avatar, and that, like, ended 4 months ago, something like that. So last night we started over, and we watched the whole thing.
And was it Avatar-ed?
It looked really good, and I still got to the end, I'm like, well, okay, so, I mean, spoiler alert, but... Yay, the natives were successful, and they've made a couple of human friends, but those human friends are going to be really fucking lonely on the planet whose air they can't breathe.
Touche.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I've never seen it, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Well, huge fucking plot hole. And, yeah, having actually watched Pocahontas again in the interim, it was so absolutely, like, note for note Pocahontas in space.
Why were you watching Pocahontas recently? Like, I'm an ultra Disney queer, and I have not seen Pocahontas
really?
Recently.
You're going to question he has Crocs.
Tim.
What else can
Tim.
You say? Oh.
Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon?
Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon?
Yes. Sounds like this. Do you own it? Did you rent it?
No,
is it for the kid?
It was like on Disney or something like that. We rented, or not rented it. We recorded it to play for Junior.
Okay.
He wears Crocs. That's all you need to know.
That may be all you need to know. Crocs.
Crocky Crocs. Right. Crickety Crocs.
Well, delicious.
All right.
And boom goes the dynamite.
All right, I'm going to go talk to my wife, who I haven't seen very much because she's been gone all week. I love you.
Right. I'm gonna whip out my penis and type with it.
Well, all right. Control S. It's like your penis typing catchphrase.
I just love that my wife was totally not on board with me just flailing my penis around pretending to type with it until I went Control S. Time to save. And then she lost it. Good times.
Control
S. It was one of those cases
where
just pushing on the joke got me past the point where the person was furious with me.
That's a good moment. You're like, whew. Like the time Noah was mad at me about something at the theater, and I went up behind him, I started spanking. I'm like, let Daddy spank it all better. And then Noah laughed. He's like, sweet, I'm out of the doghouse.
What he doesn't know is that one pissed at his cereal.
What cereal? We were at the movie theater.
Later on.
We didn't live together.
Revenge is a dish best served much later.
Revenge is a dish best microwaved.
I thought you were actually going to say the quote, but no. Best served much later.
I got to flip it up.
Well played, sir. Well played indeed.
All right, Noah. Well, don't masturbate in the kitchen.
Do you have a recipe? You want to close this out with one?
Yeah.
Don't masturbate in the kitchen. Kitchen. Kitchen.
Don't masturbate in the kitchen. Don't beat your meat on the grill. We're trying to make some delicious food. We don't need you fucking up our meal. Now we'll give you a recipe that you can use at home. Cooking can be fun if you always remember. Do not stroke your bone.
Don't masturbate in the kitchen.
Yeah, real quick. Hold on.
Take your time.
Don't mess.
People love this segment.
The
don't
in the kitchen. Okay. Don't I tried this the other day. I think it's pretty good. It definitely probably won't be for everyone because, well, I should say, let me send you a link.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up.
It's called a lambic. Man, let me get this right. It's a lambic ice cream float. Lambic, I guess, is a Belgian? Yeah, Belgian beer. They have like, it's almost like a cider. Stephanie Sink says she thinks it tastes like soda. I tried the cherry one, which I recommend on this link I'm about to send you. That is quite tart. I think if you do it with like maybe the raspberry, that might be better because that's a little bit sweeter. But I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the beer. So there you go. They have
so this is
peach,
another
an apple. Sorry, what were you going to say, Tim?
This is another root beer float?
Not
or
well,
beer
it's alcoholic.
Float? Right, sorry, that's what I meant. I meant to correct myself, but I didn't do it quick enough.
Okay, yes.
I thought that this was exactly what we talked about last week.
I don't think so. I don't think I even did it last week, did I?
Oh, you did.
You're right. I've actually tried it now. There you go.
Ah. So this is a don't masturbate in the kitchen follow-up.
Yes.
I had tried it when I mentioned it before, but now I've tried it, and I think it's pretty good.
It's a don't masturbate in the kitchen update.
Don't masturbate in the kitchen.
So yes, they have different flavors: peach, apple, black currant, raspberry.
Did you try them all? Because I bet you the ones that you tried later tasted better.
No, I tried the raspberry one, which was good.
Like I seriously think that Jaeger shots only exist for drunk people.
Perhaps.
Right.
Perhaps. Sure.
Perhaps.
All right, well, good night, everybody. Catch you next
Stumbling
week.
Stumbling to a close.
I love you guys.
Keep fucking that chicken.
I love you. I think I love you, but what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for.
I thought you were afraid of my big meaty cock.
That too.
He's afraid of the cocky. walking, walking.
I'm gonna go enjoy my 100-inch diagonal screen.
Oh, shit, that was what I was thinking we should have talked about today.
Save it for next week.
Sorry, Noah.
Save it for next week.
Unfortunately for you, you've just listened to an episode of TanCast. Check out our official website at TanCast.com, where you can find the show notes for this or any other episode. You can read our blog. You can find links to our Facebook fan page, our Twitter page, our YouTube page, and our official TanCast store. You can email us at fucktards@tancast.com or yourmom@tancast.com, or you can email the guys individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at tancast.com. Thanks, as always, to DJ Technoid, who created the official TanCast theme song. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes by searching for TanCast, where you can subscribe to us and write us a review so others can find us. Thank you again for putting up with our bullshit. We'll see you next time on TanCast.
He's climbing your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to break them, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you, so you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy.
Do you like the extra background vocals on it, Tim?
Extra I don't background vocals.
It seemed like the original didn't have the people singing behind him.
It did.
I don't remember that.
Like where they're clapping at the end? Well, the end of the other version, but sort of the middle of this version.
Jeez, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife.
I like the last couple choruses, they've added like even more background, like a...
Love it. This could be the new hit.
I'm sure I'll find some way to work it into today's show. I'm trying to think what is quick enough to be the link noise. Maybe home, 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 boy.
Run and tell that, run and tell that.
Cause they ripping everybody out here.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Is this the chick with the blue, like the bad blue wig dancing behind him at one point?
Behind the main, behind the
yeah, at
dude
about
from the
127
story?
Or something like that.
Oh,
fuck! Why would someone rate that chick? She's ugly. That black dude is so gay.
Oh yeah.
What was that note?
What?
I said what? Hello.
Yeah, we're sorry.
I said what to Noah?
Yeah, and then Noah stopped talking.
Yes.
Yes. I said I can't remember what I said now. Oh, I said the guy is so gay. The
yes.
Black guy. Oh, they break it down at the end, drop the music.
I haven't made it to the end yet, actually.
You back it.
Right.
Say how good it is.
I like that there's extra, and that's all I needed to say. The worst thing about these auto-tunes and news is the chorus gets caught in my head, and I try to sing it like some shit on the radio. Happened with the Double Rainbow one, too.
Double Rainbow! Ah, it's too bad Dio died. We could have had Double Rainbow in the Dark.
It's Dio.
Ronnie James Dio.
Keep going.
Sang the song Rainbow in the Dark.
Yep.
All right.
Keep
well,
going.
Apparently there was no chance I was going to get
Diver.
Any of this because I don't even know that song you're talking about. So I'm just going to cut my losses and say this reference is over my head.
he was in Black Sabbath after Ozzy left. Is that helping?
Yeah. Hang on, let me grab my Black Sabbath CDs and see if I can see him on the cover.
I think he's mocking you. Like a rainbow in the dark. Double rainbow in the dark. Oh, man. And it's so awesome. Gay.
What were you doing there, Noah?
Singing.
And it's so gay.
Ah, couldn't hear the words you were saying. It was just like, ew, ah, ah. I was like, does no one know this song? He's just adding some soul to the background, like,
you don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy.